I welcome councillors, management, members of the public in attendance of the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council Business Team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 17 reports from management, 9 of which are confidential, and 4 items of general business. We've received an apology from Councillor Ong. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a council to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of Council Meeting 46, held on Tuesday the 26th of April 2016. Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Wood, I'll put that matter, all those in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you. Any matters arising from minutes of the previous meeting? In that case, as at 3 p.m. today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings, Local Law 2010. In relation to Agenda Item 6.7A, Kensington Adventure Playground Contract Number 3545, items of correspondence from Maria O'Shaughnessy from the City of Moonee Valley, Matthew Hammond from Kensington Flemington Junior Sports Club, and Jacqueline Van Heerden from Friends of the Venny. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items? In that case, there are no reports from committee. There are 8 reports from management. The first, 6.1, is the records of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion? Councillor Pinner-Mortimer, seconded Councillor Wood. Put the motion, all those in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the 2015-16 Council Works Programme third quarter report. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this matter? Councillor Main, is it seconded? Councillor Wood, Councillor Main, do you wish to speak to it?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This is just the March quarter report on capital works. As we can see in the documents, $57 million of works completed so far this year, $10 million behind the forecast value of $67 million. A number of projects are coming on well, whether it's Carlton Baths Stage 2, the Lincoln Square Stormwater Harvesting, or Docklands Park Enhancement Works. There is a projection that we'll finish up with a larger carry forward at the end of the year, so we will struggle to meet our projections for what we would spend in the June quarter, and obviously therefore that will mean we'll have a slightly larger capital works budget next year with that carry forward coming through. So not great to see not spending the full amount, but obviously far better than having blowouts or overspending. So I simply note the report and thank the officers for their continuing good work.
Thank you. Councillor Wood.
I agree with that. Good mix of stormwater capture, open space, and all of these projects adding to the great assets of the City of Melbourne. Happy to support.
Thank you. Further speaker to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion of those in favour. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.3 is the Corporate Transport Services Contract 3543. Would councillors like a presentation? I call on the councillor to move the motion. Councillor Oak, seconded. Councillor Pinner-Mortimer, Councillor Oak.
I move the recommendation on the screen.
Councillor Pinner-Mortimer.
And I second that, Lord Mayor.
Is there a further contribution to debate?
No.
In that case, it'll be, do you wish to close debate, Councillor?
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, I thought you...
No, we did that.
The only thing I wanted to mention was that obviously it's been awarded to the existing contractor, but that and the report does explain why they were successful, and in doing so, it talks its relation to council policy. In particular, I'm interested in how it promotes and assists us with our eco-city and our connected city goals, and also how it relates to corporate social responsibility. And I just note that it's mentioned, but it's not, you know, excellent. And I think that there are areas that we need to, you know, probably strive to be excelling in as technology changes, and we get a lot of emails around our environmental credentials with respect to our fleet. And so I think that whilst we're awarding the contract, it's something that should be... into consideration on a regular basis.
Thank you. Happy to take that as an opening statement. Yeah. Is there a second to wish to speak?
No, thanks, Rob.
Is there a further speaker of the debate?
In that case,
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.4 is the Inner Melbourne Action Plan 2016-2026. Would councillors like a presentation? Is there a councillor who can move this motion? Councillor Oak. Is there a second to Councillor Wood? Councillor Oak, do you wish to speak to this motion?
Sorry, it's just going at such a pace that I'm just catching up.
I'm doing
up.
My best.
Yeah.
It's a big agenda.
I know it's a big agenda. Well, the only... obviously, I endorse the Inner Melbourne Action Plan. It's incredibly important that we work across our municipal boundaries. There are areas where we need to do this a lot better, whether it's around connecting up our bike lanes, around our energy and sustainability plans, but also social inclusion, community facilities, and of course a lot of these things are captured. My only note is that we are tomorrow launching the Melbourne Resilience Strategy, and I think that's an exemplar model of how we should operate across multiple councils, and obviously the Melbourne Resilience Strategy is not just about the IMAP councils, it's about many more, but I'd like to think that the IMAP potentially in the next iteration would be not necessarily consumed inside, but it, you know, really should look at resilient Melbourne as the model that that it needs to strive to be.
Second to wish to speak?
Yeah, happy to support this, Lord Mayor. I agree with Councillor Oak. I think the Resilient Melbourne Plan with 31 councils on board is an excellent example of local government coordination across the whole metro area. Obviously, IMAP performs a particular area of... focus for us in being the Inner Melbourne councils, and again, obviously, local streets, bike paths, environmental issues, these sort of things don't actually respect council boundaries, so always good to be working with our other colleagues.
Further speaker debate? Councillor Watts.
Just to say that I just want to share with everybody that while this particular item refers to the plan, for the first time during Knowledge Week this year, we involved the IMAP councils in the program we were offering, and I think this is evidence that we are responding to the wider community, not just Melbourne.
Thank you. If I could make a brief comment to say I was going to pick up the Knowledge Week observation that Councillor Watts made. I'd also say that New Year's Eve is an interesting way that we work together on a very big public event. And last week, we had 350 licensees from the Inner Melbourne suburban area, not just our own area, meeting in Main Hall to talk about issues like public safety and late-night operating and the nighttime economy. And I think that that's really an indication that when we do work together with our near neighbours, we can achieve far more than just working by ourselves, and we're delighted to welcome those collaborations. Does the mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the Sustainable Rewards Program Contract 3544. Would councillors like a presentation? Could I have a councillor move this, please? Councillor Wood, is it seconded? Councillor Oak, Councillor Wood.
This is excellent to be awarding this tender to Green Money. It is the Green Money program working very well. Over 7,000 households now signed up to the program, which incentivises households, particularly in our apartment areas, over 70% to 80% of residents in Melbourne living in apartments, to up the recycling rates, but also to spend that green money in their local area, whether it be on movie tickets or meals. So it's a really great program. Shows a big increase in recycling rates, particularly for those apartment towers, but also generates local business. So I think this is a really good example of a very small incentive driving a big result.
Only because we have...
Second to wish to speak.
Only as we have a large audience from Kensington, I believe, in the chamber tonight, and just a plug for Green Money, I support the awarding of this contract. It is a great program, and it's free to join up. And if you recycle, you know, the more you recycle, the more points you get and the more freebies you get in local businesses. So I support anyone here tonight to get on board if you haven't already.
Further speaker to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.6 is the Melbourne Office of the City of Literature, a further three-year agreement. Would councillors like a presentation? Could I have a councillor move it, please? Councillor Leppert, is there a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The last few years, we've seen some excellent collaboration between the City of Melbourne, Creative Victoria, Arts Victoria at the beginning, and the Wheeler Centre in putting together this Office of the City of Literature. We are a proud City of Literature, and we were the only City of Literature without an office until very recently. I think the work of that office in the last couple of years in particular has been remarkable, given how few resources there are in that office. David has done a remarkable job in particular. The sheer number of writers who have been supported through small grants is very exciting, and the collaborations that have been able to be forged between the city and the state, but writers across the state and writing organisations has been remarkable, again, given how few resources we've got. So I'm only too happy to support this recommendation and enter into a new three-year funding arrangement. I note that it's the intention of the state to continue that funding arrangement indefinitely, and so I think the Office of the City of Literature is here to stay, and that's a remarkable thing.
Councillor Watts.
I would agree. This is a very important investment on the part of the City of Melbourne. We are a UNESCO City of Literature, and proudly so. We must remain one, and this reflects what we are and what we will become.
Is there a further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.7 is pedestrian count data visualisation website development and maintenance services contract. Rolling straight off the tongue at 5254. Is the remover for this item? Councillor Oak. Seconded Councillor Wood. Councillor Oak.
This is for a fairly small amount of money. It's quite exciting, this this contract. I look forward to seeing what they develop. We're collecting a lot of great data in the city, and pedestrian counts is one of them, and I know it's used by a lot of external stakeholders, not only for knowing what happens on large events and where people are walking and, you know, for crowd control, but taxi industry looks at it, you know, where are people in the city on any given time so that they know, you know, where to go. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the innovation what innovation comes out of this contract, and what else can be done with the data.
Councillor Wood.
This is a good one. I think in the end only one tenderer, which was the incumbent, but the good result was, after going to market and then negotiating with the tenderer, that the cost over the 5 years was able to be driven down. So you don't see that too often these days, with costs going up and up and up. So to see this valuable service provided, and I guess that, as Councillor Oak has talked about, that customer interface and allowing people to use the great data that the City of Melbourne collects is excellent.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Pinner-Mortimer.
Lord Mayor, I think this could be a real boon to the retail sector as well. So it's quite exciting, and look forward to seeing the results of it.
Thank you. Further contribution? Move wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.7A is the Kensington Adventure Playground, contract 3545. Could I ask our Director Linda Weatherson to make a brief presentation on this issue?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The purpose of this report is to award a contract for the operation and management of the Kensington Adventure Playground for 1 year with a two-year option to the Vennie Inc. Council has supported the Kensington Adventure Playground, locally known as the Vennie, for many years. The Vennie is located within JJ Holland Park on Council's land. In 2010, Council spent $1.5 million on relocating the building and redeveloping a new building for the Vennie to use. From 2008, Council has provided funding annually through a grants program of between $119,000 and $149,000 per annum. And then in addition to this, since the federal government withdrew its funding in 2014, Council has provided an additional $126,000 per annum to the Vennie, so it could continue to operate a very well worthwhile service in the Kensington area. In October 2015, the Venue Board actually came to management here at Council and said that it really was concerned about the viability of the service in the longer term. The Venue Board had achieved DGR status but had at that stage been unsuccessful in attracting dollars. And so Council made the decision to tender the service out, given it was one that the Council did want to retain. In April this year, Council awarded the tender to Save the Children Australia. But through media and a community meeting, Save the Children decided that its mission could not be achieved without the community support. As a community development organisation, it believed it needed the support of the community, and it was hearing quite a different story from that community. So management now recommends to Council that the contract be awarded to the Venue for 1 year with a two-year option. Management has met with board members of the Venue Inc. on a number of occasions since the 18th of May when Save the Children withdrew. The board does acknowledge it has some work to do on both the governance and the operation of the service. And so over the next 6 months, Council management is committed to working closely with the board and the staff to ensure those improvements identified by the board and also the opportunities identified through the tender process will be addressed. And management will then bring a report back to Council in February 2017 on how these improvements have progressed. Management also commits to consulting with the community before bringing the report back to Council, and also commits further to working with the board to ensure the Kensington community more broadly is informed of achievements and challenges experienced by the Venue. I commend the recommendation to Council.
Thank you. Do I have a councillor move this recommendation? Councillor Foster, is this seconded? Councillor Wood, Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just with your indulgence, before we enter into the debate, I'd just like to bring to the attention of yourself and councillors a petition that I received from the community at the community meeting at the Kensington Town Hall recently. Suffice it to say, Lord Mayor and councillors, this petition has a large number of names on it. I haven't counted them, but the list is extensive. There is a brief letter that accompanies the petition. It is very brief, so I'll just read it out just very quickly. To the Melbourne City Council from the students of Kensington Primary School. The Venue is our favourite and only adventure playground in our area. Lots of children play there every afternoon, after school and on weekends. It is a special place because we get the chance not only to play games, but spend time with the animals, jump on the trampolines, cook food, draw, paint, read, sew, and many other things you cannot do in a normal playground. We also get the chance to sort out problems and just be ourselves. Some kids go to the Venue every day as it's the only place they can go and play and forget about their problems. Just recently, we said goodbye to one of the older boys who grew up playing at the Venue. He's gone off to do some fantastic community work for Camp America. That is working with kids. He learnt all these skills at the Venue. Please do not change the Venue as we know it. We will miss Dave and Danny and the people that work there, as it is our only play space where we can go and not be bugged by our parents. We can all appreciate that. We would all like to continue playing in this fantastic space. Lots of kids and parents from Kensington love the Venue and do not want to see it change. Written by Dylan Russo and Lucas Russo. So thank you very much to Dylan and Lucas for that letter, and indeed to all those who signed the petition. I think that letter does speak volumes about what we've been trying to achieve here on Council, everything that we have done, and I've got very little to add in terms of the process to what Linda's had to say, but it is worth pointing out that Council stepped in when the Abbott government did withdraw funding to the Venue. All we have been trying to do is reach a point of sustainability. We want the contents of that letter to live on. and it's been a matter of trying to get that done right. I do want to also just pay regard to Save the Children, who exited this process very respectfully and in a most dignified way. So I think that's worth acknowledging too. But the motion that we have before us tonight, the recommendation that we're considering tonight, is all about sustainability, and it is indeed to place the Venny on the best course for success and the best course to be here years from now.
Thank you. Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm more than happy to support the recommendation from officers. I thank them for their work on this. I know we don't have to labour the point that colleagues, all of us, believe in the importance of the Venny and the services that it provides. This is about the long-term financial viability, and this is another step in the many steps that we've taken to try to ensure that asset remains there for the next 37, 38 years to keep on performing the valuable services that it does. I think we'll see, by a very full gallery on both sides, the extensive community support that the Venny has. I ask the great community of Kensington to continue to get behind the Venny in this next very important phase, because really all of this support, we now need to focus on raising funds, doing all the things that will ensure the Venny's successful into the future. But very, very happy to support this.
Further contribution or debate? Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Like the mover and seconder, I'm a Kensington resident and I'm very well aware of the value of the Venny to my community, and all councillors, as Councillor Wood has said, understand the importance that the Venny plays to our communities here in the City of Melbourne. This is a one-of-a-kind place. It is the only adventure playground like this that provides that particular service in the City of Melbourne. And the last few years have been an interesting and at times challenging process, but the determination from all councillors I know is to make sure that the adventure playground and the services of the Venny are as sustainable as possible, so that all the kids who do get so much out of the Venny can continue to do so, not just current kids but kids in future as well. So I support the words of the mover and the seconder. I think the February report that's referred to in the recommendation from management and in the background to the report is going to be very important. While we're in a very happy place today, and I'm sure that those in the gallery are very supportive of the conclusion that Council's arriving at today, there are, of course, always issues with small organisations like the Venny, and we want to make sure, as I'm sure the Venny does, that we are working together, and most importantly, that the community is part of that conversation every step of the way to make sure that the Venny is sustainable as possible going forward on all issues, its operations, its governance, and so on. So this isn't the end of the story. I look forward to that report in February, but I think we're in a very happy place today, so I'm very supportive of the motion before us.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Roke.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I too support the recommendation from management in awarding the contract to the Venny. I would like to obviously acknowledge all of the members of the Kensington community, the Venny community in the chamber tonight. Obviously they're very, very passionate about this space, and quite rightly it is quite an amazing space to be, and as a young person to have the ability to, you know, be in a space that you feel is yours is very important, and we know that. And I guess I wanted to also say that at all times in this whole process, in the many years that the City of Melbourne's been involved, but in particular in the last 2 or 3 years, not once has a decision been made lightly. All of us, all of the councillors and all the management, all the officers who've worked on this, the number one priority has actually been to make sure that this space is always there. Like, we've never, there's never been a discussion or even a contemplation that the Venny, in whatever guise it is, but the Venny would not be in existence. And And so I can assure you that we're all on your side, that we want this place to be there forever, most importantly because of the young people who are here and the young people who will come and take part in the great place that it is. And I would like to especially pay tribute to obviously Councillor Wood and Foster and Leppard and the Lord Mayor and the work that they've done with the venue over the many years, but also obviously to Linda and Alison and the staff. I think that we have done great work. I think that, you know, we are all in this together, and this decision is made with a lot of good intent, and obviously we hope that we've made the right decision, and I think that we've made the right decision. And I'd in particular like to thank Caitlin. I'm not sure, I don't think she's here, but on Sunday Caitlin read a letter. But I believe she had morning tea or afternoon tea with the Lord Mayor, but she you know, spoke on behalf of everyone who attends very, very eloquently, and made the offer on behalf of all of us that if, you know, she or anyone else from the venue, the young people, would like to come to council and you know, see what we do and the decisions that we make, that of course we're here to invite you in, and hopefully there are new councillors of the future at the venue that are in the audience. So anyway, I support the recommendation and look forward to the long-term viability of this place.
Further contribution to debate? I don't think I can improve on we're all in this together. Oh, that should be a line in a song somewhere. Does the mover wish to conclude debate? Councillor Watts.
I just wanted to congratulate the people who've turned out tonight, our young citizens. I joined council as a community activist, and it delights me to see so many people actively becoming engaged in what their council is doing. This is your city and this is your council, and we don't always get it right, but we do eventually, believe. So well done, all of you.
Further contribution to debate? In that case, does the mover wish to conclude? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Very unruly gallery. Have to have security take care of that. And stop councillors referring to galleries as well. Just against standing orders. No, you've won. You can go now if you like. Or you can stay for the really, really interesting stuff that follows. We might pause for a moment.
I thought, Lord Mayor, they might want to stay for Audit Committee.
Sorry?
They might want to stay for Audit Committee.
This concludes the reports from management. There are four reports in general business for the open session. Could I suggest that we move items 7.1 to 7.3 on block? Is there an objection to that? Councillor Wood moved. Councillor Louis seconded. Councillor Wood.
Very good to see this representation from the city occurring, and you're welcome. happy to move on block, Lord Mayor.
Yeah. Councillor Louis.
Likewise, Lord Mayor, I'm happy to move on block as well, but also in regards to 7.1, can I also quite thank Martin and Jane for the report. But since the report was written, there's been quite an additional number of activities and initiatives that has been undertaken since that mission. And I believe that Martin or Jane are going to send around a briefing paper rather than to make adjustments to the report. Thank you.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Foster.
Just very briefly, Lord Mayor, I just want to touch on 7.2 and my participation in smoke-free forums in New Zealand. I was just advised today that the City of Wellington, just in the last couple of days, has committed to become a world-first smoke-free capital by 2025, largely arising from Melbourne's experience. So that's something I think we can all be proud of.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate, Councillor Mann.
And I just want to say that it's great to see all these travel reports being approved publicly. Our friends at the City of Perth have learnt this lesson the hard way of late and have now moved to this same model of always having approval and reports coming back afterwards. We've been doing it for many, many years. It's a very good and transparent system.
Thank you. Is there a further contribution to debate? I would just say I had from one of our, as Councillor Louis said, during this week, confirmation that one of the groups that we took to China has now secured the contract for the building of the IKEA stores in China, which is not a bad contract to have, I would have thought. They're quite pleased.
Lord Mayor, is that flat packed?
Well, the contract was, yes. Yeah. you're talking to the master of the Allen key here, the master. Is there a further contribution to debate? Talking to councillors is okay. Standing orders say don't talk to the gallery. Anyway, in that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous. Thank you. Can I move to item 7.4, notice of motion standing in Councillor Mann's name, introduction of an online gift register for councillors. Could I ask Councillor Mann to move the motion standing in his name?
So moved.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Foster. Thank you. Councillor Mann.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The history of this is that the state government changed some legislation and required councillors to update their codes of conduct before the coming elections. And some advice coming out of MAV around that process was talking about councillors having a gift register. And in light of some of the issues that had emerged at the City of Perth, I formed the view that we probably needed to move on the question of establishing a separate and discrete gift register for City of Melbourne. As the background explains, a couple of other things were relevant here. Our new CEO, Ben Rimmer, in November last year, introduced a gift register at $50. And the way our system is currently working is that we do have a gift register, of course, which operates effectively at $500 and is updated every 6 months in a paper filing, jumbled in with a number of other disclosures, such as your investments, some of your conflicts, some of your property holdings. So it's a sort of a grab bag of disclosures every 6 months on paper that is then removed as soon as a councillor ceases being a councillor. So it's not an online register that sits there forever, like what happens with our quarterly online expenses. And so there wasn't a lot of offers for support for moving to a gift register, so I thought we would do this by motion. And what I propose is a $150 threshold for disclosure, which is three times the officer level at 50, and an update online every 14 days. And then an addition to the code of conduct reflecting that. I think it would be a good move. We value ourselves for being one of Australia's most open and transparent councils, and I think this was a slight gap in our disclosure model. $500 is quite high. You know, many companies, so Aldi, for instance, I was on a panel with an Aldi representative the other week who said couldn't take the bottle of wine because they have a no-gifts policy at all. A number of councils also have a no-gifts policy, so we do allow acceptance of gifts, and that can involve tickets, or that can involve a meal, or it could involve something that's given to you when you're travelling that's retained by the city. There's a range of things that could be in there. And at the moment, it's not very difficult to find out what is there because it's six-monthly in paper, and there's no ongoing continuous online record for anyone to see. So I appreciate that there may be a better way of going with an officer report that looks into the wrinkles and perhaps unintended consequences of how we do it, and it's not necessarily great practice for councillors to jump in with the three-paragraph specifics of how a new gift register will start in 5 weeks' time. So I appreciate that there may be an alternative position, but I do think we need to have the conversation and maybe talk about a different way of reaching the end point. But I do think we need to get to an online gift register matching similarly the way we do our online expenses and continuing to lead the way on transparency. So as the conversation starter, if you like, colleagues, I'm happy to move the motion as it appears before you tonight.
Thank you. Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There's, it doesn't leave a lot to add after my colleague's comments, but it's, I think it's important to remember that even 30 years ago, perhaps even 20 years ago, half of the transparency measures that we now have at the City of Melbourne probably wouldn't even have been contemplated. You know, a lot of them would have been laughed out of town. And to see how far we've come in the last few years with the support of people like Councillor Mayne and certainly my colleague Councillor Watts right behind these initiatives, it's amazing to see what we have now. These things have to start somewhere, and as Councillor Mayne pointed out, it is about starting a conversation about it, and a lot of the time we've seen great success from having motions like this put up to have worthwhile contributions to the debate, and then an enormously important and valuable transparency measure come out at the other end. So I think this could be the start of a very good process, and a process that we should all be proud of. Again, we've seen it dozens of times. It's really just now another step in this goal that we have, perhaps the goal that some have, to make the City of Melbourne the most transparent in the country.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Wood.
Lord Mayor, I will speak against this, not because of the sentiment. I'll foreshadow, should this fail, to that I would be moving an alternative motion, which I believe we have on screen. Should this one fail, I'll move this one. So I won't labour my opposition to the current motion, needless to say that I think both Councillor Foster and Councillor Mayne probably touched on the reasons for it. Councillor Foster mentioned start of a process, Councillor Mayne mentioned good conversation starter, and also alluded to the fact that it would probably be good, there's merit in actually having officers look at this in more detail, and that's why I'll be moving this motion should the current motion fail.
Further speaker for the motion? Councillor Watts.
Yes, just my sense is that the motion put... first of all, I congratulate Councillor Mayne for putting this forward. It's a very important conversation, as people keep saying we have to have, but not such a confused one as all of that. In my view, the gifts register is akin to donations reform. In my view, any gift that is made to sitting councillors is given because of their office and therefore should be registered. It seems to me that there's no confusion at all around this. It seems to me that if we are to pride ourselves on our transparency, the gift register has to happen. As I said, for me, this doesn't is perhaps too high. I think we could actually go down do this, have the same amount of gift registered as officers do, and but perhaps not as much as Audi. But anyway, I commend this proposal, and I think it's where we want the City of Melbourne to end up.
Is the speaker against the motion? Further, Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Like Councillor Wood, can I congratulate Councillor Mayne for bringing this issue to us. I absolutely agree that we should have a gift register, and we wouldn't be having this conversation without the notice being given for this debate. So certainly thanks to Councillor Mayne. I think the benefit of having a little bit of extra time to put together some detail around a gift register protocol is important. Because these things, as we've found, as we've discussed these things informally over the last few weeks, can be a little bit complicated. What a gift register isn't is a de facto register of conflicts. We need to be very clear in the way that we present the gift register that it is not the same thing as a list of actual or potential conflicts. Some of them, many of the things that are listed there will be things that do happen to create conflicts. However, the gift register is not the same thing as a register of conflict. So the delineation between the regimes and the explanation, both for internal processes and the public-facing presentation of what the gift register actually looks like, are important considerations, and I don't think they're things that can be dealt with by way of a few short sentences in a motion. However, in lieu of the foreshadowed motion, I'd still have been pretty happy, I think, to support the motion before us. I think it might take a little while to get right, but I think what we'll find today is that we all agree that we should have a gift register. That's certainly my position, but what the foreshadowed motion will do, and I'll be voting against this motion to support the foreshadowed motion, is to just make sure we've got those settings right and taking a little bit of time to consider best practice.
Further speaker for the motion? Let me have a... Councillor Hogue.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. When Councillor Mayne brought this, I wholeheartedly said, yep, absolutely, any gift. I wanted it as low as possible, like Councillor Watts has implied, and absolutely support a gift register. But now hearing, hearing that Councillor Watts quite rightly mentioned, or maybe it should be lower, and Councillor Leppard has mentioned a few, of the intricacies between conflict versus gift and making sure that we get it right, I am now persuaded to support, to not vote for this one, but to support the foreshadowed motion, just so that we get it right, but to make it clear on record that I absolutely support a gift register for councillors, and absolutely thank Councillor Mayne for bringing it forward, and actually agree with Councillor Watts that I think it could be lower, but that I guess would come back in a report as to what other councils do, what other practice should be, but also to make sure that there's guidance to ensure that it's not mistaken as a conflict register, that it is a gift register. So I'll be voting against this one, but supporting the foreshadowed one.
Further speaker for the motion? Let me just speak again briefly against the motion, but commend Councillor Mayne. I think this is a really good idea. I'm just not sure this is the vehicle to do it. And I want to first start with Councillor Leppard's proposition. It's not about a register of conflicts. It's not even about a gift register, to be honest. And talking to Councillor Mayne about this, what he is proposing is entirely admirable. It's really a reputation protection register. By declaring these things which may not be conflicts but which nevertheless are gifts. The reason though that I'm going to vote against it and for the foreshadowed motion is that in my case, and I probably sit at the epicentre of this, there is considerable confusion. It's not as simple as Councillor Watts makes out, particularly in my position. So what is given to me personally in many cases, depending on the culture giving us a gift, is given to me personally. Nevertheless, I pass it to the city, not always to Eddie Butler Bowden's joy, let me tell you, but nevertheless, I do. The question of its value is always problematic. The question of civic gifts versus personal gifts comes into our professional ambit every day in my office. Entertainment, I think, is also problematic. And let me give you an example. We've already voted that we will take a table at the Prime Minister's Olympic dinner, as we do every 4 years. But so that councillors can attend that, and we'll pay for that, so that won't appear on any gift register for any councillor who attends. But in order that a couple more of our councillors can attend that hen's tooth sort of invitation, I've accepted an invitation from the Olympic Committee to sit on David Thodey's table. So my fellow councillors would be sitting on the next table to me and declaring nothing, and I'll be sitting in exactly the same position one table over and declaring $6,000. That seems to me the sort of anomaly that we need to think through. And it needs to be consistent. I have looked at these registers in other areas, and the idea is absolutely sound and right. But I think that the foreshadowed motion, and I know we'll debate that in a moment, but asking our officers to look at the template that the MOV will provide, look at best practice, and then recommend to us will leave us in a much better place that is not ambiguous, but that still achieves all of the very worthy aims that Councillor Mayne has brought before us. Nevertheless, had Councillor Mayne not brought this notice of motion, this probably would not have been on our agenda. And therefore, he's done us, I think, once again, a great service in terms of transparency. It is not the idea that Councillor Mayne has brought forward that makes me oppose this. It is the question about whether it is the correct vehicle. And I think if we work together to get that right, And again, we can boast of being the most transparent council in Australia if we have the best reputation protection register, gift register, that we can point to. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to close debate.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I'm actually very happy with Councillor Wood's alternative motion in the sense that we vote to accept a gift register and we're just going to work out the details later with the assistance of our professional officers. So I'd like to thank Councillor Wood for negotiating that one through and really delighted that we will be getting to that. I will respond on a couple of points with the complexities, and there are some complexities. My motion talks about council-related gifts, yet the Register of Interests captures everything. You know, you get a donation to, you know, fly over and annoy Rupert Murdoch at an AGM in America, and you've got to disclose it, even though it's got absolutely nothing to do with council. So this motion was proposing it to be more narrow. I know the officers have a slightly different view on that. This motion effectively would also have been a continuous disclosure regime for donations, which would you need to think about how that sits with what we passed a few weeks ago on donation disclosure, which was also spread to candidates, not just incumbent councillors. In terms of the practicalities of the not passing this and going with Councillor Woods, it may shift it back a few months into the next council, potentially. When the code of conduct comes to us in June, we will probably remain silent on the gift register because we won't have resolved until August, so we may need to think about it in addition to the code of conduct when we get to it in August. So in WA as well, they made a mistake when they went for a gift register because they picked up family gifts. So birthday gifts from your mum and your dad was getting picked up, and this caused the peak body over there to try and argue the whole thing was a joke and the whole thing should be junked. So you don't want to make it too prescriptive to pick up too much. But you obviously want to pick up, you know, someone having, you know, $400 lunches with a whole bunch of people all the time. So it's getting that happy medium of not being stifled by bureaucracy, but having reputation enhanced with good disclosure and sitting with consistently with our other disclosure mechanisms, such as quarterly online disclosure of very low-level expenses claims, which we do currently have. And one final point is that the MAV gift register also requires disclosure of rejected gifts for MAV directors, not the model for everyone else, but for MAV directors. So that's another complication that I'm sure the officers are thrilled about having to go through and then put their names to a particular position as to how the mechanics of this will work. We won't be thanked for the amount of work we're generating for them on an issue like this, but I think it is important for our governance that we do it. And I won't say I look forward to being defeated on this motion, but I do look forward to tonight's decision to effectively endorse the idea in principle of a gift register.
I'll now put the motion. Those voting in favour are voting in favour of the notice of motion of Councillor Main. Should that fail, then the foreshadowed motion will proceed. Those in favour, Councillor Watts, Councillor Foster, Councillor Main. Those against, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pindermorton, Deputy Moore, Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppard and myself. The motion is lost. We now move to the foreshadowed motion and I'd ask Councillor Wood to put that motion. Is there a seconder for it? Councillor Main. Thank you.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. And I want to add my thanks to Councillor Main for, as you rightly said, we wouldn't be discussing this issue if he hadn't aborted in the first place. I think his focus on the outcome as opposed to which motion gets up is also really admirable. We do have a gifts register. I think this is very much about frequency, threshold, the medium for disclosure. These are the sort of issues that Councillor Main wants to focus on, and I think rightly so. I am really keen to go to officers and get them to work through, as we've already mentioned in the previous motion, you know, what is best practice, you know, what are some of the unintended consequences. Take that time to really get it right. I think when you make, you know, bold steps forward, and you know, we can say that there are many other disclosure regimes happening in many other organisations, but we're constantly pushing forward in terms of disclosure, is that you do really want to get it right. Almost worse than moving not moving on disclosure is moving on disclosure and then having the situation that, that Councillor Mayne alluded to with perhaps private gifts at, you know, birthdays and things being included and then people poking holes in it. So I think Councillor Mayne talks about relation to other policies, our other disclosure mechanisms. I think what we'll get here is a really well thought through process and framework that can be recommended to us in August, and that we will get to the right outcome in terms of increasing, forever increasing, that transparency that is demanded of us in this office. So Councillor Mayne has brought the issue to us. I think we're going to get a good result from this. His work on constantly pushing the transparency agenda is greatly appreciated.
Councillor Mayne.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Wood. I think you summed it up perfectly, that this is about determining the threshold, the frequency and the medium or the platform through which the disclosure occurs. And the current system of six-monthly paper that then disappears forever from the public gaze once someone leaves the council and is jumbled in with investments and conflicts and properties and things like that is not an ideal system with the $500 threshold. So I think the idea of what we've done tonight is we are decoupling gifts and moving to a specific gifts register and a more contemporary disclosure regime which will remain on the record. And I think that will be a sensible and not overly burdensome governance reform, which we can all be proud of, and I look forward to maybe watching from outside, but look forward to seeing what the officers come back with in August, and might even do a submission, you never know.
Sure, look forward to that. In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, that is unanimous, thank you. At the beginning of the meeting tonight, Councillor Watts approached me and expressed her desire to make a personal statement in the open session of the meeting. The rules of personal statements are that they should be on the approved template, that it needs to be distributed in writing at a time that, which is convenient, which is now, that it must be read verbatim, that there is no debate on such a statement, and the statement is appended to the minutes. So I think Councillor Watts is happy to distribute that statement now. I'm happy for Councillor Watts to make her personal statement.
Thank you. I speak to set the public record straight on what I believe has been a series of misleading, false, disrespectful, disparaging comments by four councillors about my professional conduct, my affiliations, my honesty and my motivation. It is my belief that these statements had the potential to discredit me and adversely impact on my personal and professional reputation. At FMC May 3, which occurred during Knowledge Week, minutes will confirm that I registered an apology. As chair of the Knowledge City portfolio, my presence was required at events across the city throughout the day and into the evening. I was not present for nor made aware of any behind the closed doors agreement or discussions by councillors to adjust the FMC agenda in order to avert another loss of quorum brought about by the conflicted Doyle team. Yet immediately after the FMC on May 3, my absence became the subject of Twitter commentary by a councillor who, based entirely on conjecture, falsely attributed a political motive to my absence. This triggered media inquiries the next day, questioning my honesty and the legitimacy of my absence. The matter did not end there. 2 days later, May 5, constituents alerted me to a councillor interview on 3AW. Audio records revealed once again reference to a female councillor who may have deliberately absented herself at MNC in FMC in order to orchestrate the loss of quorum. This could only have been referring to me. Such comment in the public realm about my legitimate absence was, I believe, an opportunistic attempt to deflect negative media attention from the loss of quorum at FMC due to the Doyle team's conflict by discrediting me. Then 2 weeks later, at FMC May 17, audio records confirm yet another councillor in an angry tirade against my motion 7.1 proposing campaign donation reform alluded in a denigrating manner to a councillor being absent from FMC May 3. Once again, this can only have been me, and I believe the intention was to discredit me. It's pertinent to note that from the minutes of this FMC May 3, when the loss of quorum did occur, two councillors were absent, myself and Councillor Ong, yet my absence alone was singled out for prolonged critical comment, the absence of a male councillor apparently beyond question. Leaving aside the possibility of gender bias, I question whether party affiliation could account for this inconsistent treatment. On a different matter, at FMC on May 17, audio records will confirm that in response to my motion, 7.1, proposing campaign donation reform, three councillors launched, I believe, an extraordinarily savage attack on me and on those who had shown support for me outside the chamber. The volume, innuendo, the fallacious assertions could not, I believe, be judged as acceptable in any civil debate. All three councillors appeared to have intended to belittle, offend and discredit me. Misleading reference was made to my political affiliation and to political opportunism on my part. The truth is that A, I was elected as an independent councillor, holding strongly the view that party politics have no place in local government, and B, I have campaigned for electoral reform for more than a decade, including donations reform. My motion was a response to current community disquiet, not political opportunism. It warranted respectful consideration by council, not ridicule. This litany of misrepresentation, innuendo, false assertions and disrespect had, I believe, the potential to damage my personal and professional reputation, my work as the Knowledge City Portfolio Chair and as a councillor. Taken as a whole, I believe that a pattern of denigration bordering on bullying, a pervasive political opportunism, appears to have trumped truth, justice and certainly collegial respect. At all levels of government, peer abuse should not be an acceptable standard of practice. It brings the council into disrepute and demeans us all, and it must cease.
Thank you.
This concludes the items of general business to be considered in open session. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, could I call on the council to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting of the public to consider items of confidential business? Councillor Wood, seconded. Is that seconded? Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. I want to thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the open meeting closed to the public at 6:26 p.m.